Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
And we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show, the start of the college football season. It is just around the corner, and it is time for us to check in with our good friends at Horns Illustrated, Steve Habel, who always does an outstanding job. Steve, it's wonderful to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Alyssa. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's get right to it because a brand new season, a brand new year in college football is just around the corner. And I know Longhorn fans, there's always a great deal of anticipation. What do you like the most about Mac Brown's team this year?
I think that the team has got a lot more experience this year. They should be a lot more mature, a lot more savvy, understand what's expected of them more. We have 19 starters back here at Texas. And a bunch of defensive guys that even when they didn't start full-time, they started about 120 combined games. So the expectations are high here in Austin, the highest they've been in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, let's be honest, because, you know, Texas has, over the past couple of years, they've had some struggles. I mean, 9-4, that's not good enough. I mean, the expectations are very, very high in Austin. What do you attribute to that? What do you point to that? Was it, in my mind, perhaps the miscalculation that Garrett Gilbert, that he could be that franchise quarterback and take them to that championship level?
I think that's part of it, Alyssa. Garrett really came to Texas as the next huge ballyhooed quarterback coming to Austin, and he didn't really perform or didn't really meet those expectations, unfortunately. But the players around him never really rallied either. If you remember, the two quarterbacks that Texas had before that, Vince Young and Colt McCoy, could basically carry teams by themselves. And I think that allowed a little complacency to sneak into the rest of the program. They were kind of used to standing around and letting the quarterbacks carry the offense and make the big plays and, you know, be basically the guy. And now I think the Texas teams we have now, even though Texas has a great quarterback, a great young quarterback in David Ash, and starting his third year as a starter here, there's a lot more players here that are more a leader type, more that are able to take the bull by the horns, if you don't mind the pun, and then maybe carry the team themselves rather than look to just the quarterback position.
Talk about David Ash, quarterback David Ash, his preparation in the off season. What has been his area of focus?
I think just grabbing the leadership more, Alyssa. This is really the first year he's gone into the spring and summer workouts knowing that he was the full-time starter. For the past 2 years, he's been, well, first it was Garrett Gilbert, and last year it was he started the spring and the summer workouts as co-starter with Case McCoy. That's not the starter now, not the situation now. David Ash is the man. He is the starting quarterback for the University of Texas, and the rest of the guys underneath him are basically his backups.
We are talking to Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated a little bit later in our program. We're also going to catch up with him. He has been traveling all over the world. In fact, just got back from Ireland. We're going to talk with him about cyber golf. But also, since we're on topic right now about your Texas Longhorns, Major Applewhite, what can we anticipate in terms of offensively? Is it going to be a little bit of that Oregon-style hurry-up attitude and a little bit quicker things offensively?
You know, Major and his not co-coordinator, but his co-conspirator, we'll call him, at Texas, Darrell Wyatt, have really moved to a hurry-up offense thing. They're going to really run with a lot of pace. They expect to snap the ball within 15 seconds of the whistle or getting set from the last play. So they're really determined to be a quick-running team, not necessarily a throw-it-around-the-field type of team. They'll run the ball a lot. They've got three great running backs. And they expect Ash to be a running threat this year for the first time, really be a real solid running threat on just about every down. So the two things that they're really focused on are tempo offense and just wearing teams out and running the ball more, getting the ball to their real playmakers.
And why have they struggled, though, Steve, to get the running game going in the past?
Well, I don't think they've really struggled. So they've had three running backs that have been pretty darn good the last couple of years. Gray, who was only there last year, but the year before that, Malcolm Brown and Joe Bergeron. And then 2 years before that, they had Fozzie Whitaker here as well. It's just a matter of them trying to really figure out exactly what they wanted to do. I think that they maybe had too much on the palate with Brian Harsin here as the co-offensive coordinator the last couple of years. Maybe they're trying to just do a little bit too much. I think it's better for them to go back to doing more things that are basic, just doing them a little bit quicker.
We are visiting, going one-on-one with Steve Habel from Horns Illustrated and Cyber Golf. Of course, the countdown is on to the start of the college football season. It is just around the corner. Let's talk about things defensively. What's going to be the key for them to be successful on the defensive end?
Well, Texas has three all Big 12 players on the defense starting this season. Jackson Jeffcoat, the defensive end, he's been oft injured here. Jordan Hicks, the linebacker, who's just full of talent, just a matter of keeping him on the field and healthy as well. And then Quandre Diggs, who's played quarterback for Texas the last couple years, but is liable to move to more of a nickelback situation this year, a safety-cornerback hybrid. They're going to be strong on defense. They've got a lot of players that have played.
Okay.
You know, Manny Diaz has been experimenting the last couple years with different lineups, different players. They've got to be better than they were last year. They're basically at the bottom of the conference as far as allowing points and allowing yardage. Of course, the conference was pretty explosive. But Texas got infinitely better, or incrementally better, I will say, as the season went on last year. And really, by the time they got to the bowl game against Oregon State, they won the Alamo Bowl last year against Oregon State, the defense had really started to take over. So I think we'll see an improved core on that side.
Okay, when we start looking at Texas's schedule, they open up things on August 31st against New Mexico State. What is your thoughts when you look up and down this year's schedule? I mean, what do you like? I know they've got a very big challenge. Of course, they will be headed into Fort Worth and play TCU.
Yeah, I mean, the first half of the schedule is really stout for Texas. They should have no problem with New Mexico State in the opener, but then they have to travel to Brigham Young, which is a spot that they've never really played well in. It's been a long time since they've been out there, but Texas traditionally does not play well in the Mountain Time Zone for some reason. A couple of years ago, they played Wyoming out in the Mountain Time Zone and trailed 10-7 at the half and then exploded in the second half. But they come home and play a very talented Mississippi team, an Ole Miss team. They can really put up some points, and you know, an SEC team is always going to be tough.
We are talking with Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated here in just a moment. We're going to start talking about some golf. We're going to tee it up, hit on some cyber golf. Tell all the listeners, Steve, where they can go and get a subscription to Horns Illustrated.
The best way to go, Alyssa, is to go to hornsillustrated.com, just like it sounds. And we've got a new and improved website that, you know, people are going there in droves, and we really appreciate that. I think that if you go there, you'll like it, and you can sign up for either a digital subscription or a print subscription.
And it's not just football-focused. I got to jump in here. It's not just football-focused because you're going to do some features, I would assume, on Jordan Spieth. I mean, the first teenager to win the PGA Tour since 1931 to win an event like that. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, we did a cover story with Jordan a couple of years ago when the Texas won the national championship. Actually, prior to them going out to Riviera in California and winning the national championship in golf, we kind of went out on a limb and previewed them as a team to beat, and they ended up winning it. So Spieth is the real deal. He shot under par in the first round of the British Open. He's won his first tournament now. He's really good. Texas is going to be really good as a team next year. They've got some great players. So, you know, the Horns Illustrated is more than football. As you're exactly right. We do other sports too. But right now, you know, we're pretty focused on the upcoming season of football.
Well, tell us about as far as how your summer has gone. You have been traveling all over the world. You were in Ireland, and you had a chance to talk or actually spend time with the 2005 U.S. Open, Michael Campbell. He's an amazing guy, isn't he?
With my job, that's also one of my jobs, is being a golf travel writer for CyberGolf, which is a huge golf news and travel portal, cybergolf.com. I play about 150 golf courses a year in different areas, and just got back from Ireland where I was able to play in the Irish Open Pro-Am, and my partner for the Pro-Am was Michael Campbell. A great guy. His game has struggled a lot since he won the U.S. Open in 2005 at Pinehurst, but I just got back from Pinehurst as well, and his picture is plastered everywhere in the clubhouse at Pinehurst.
Wow.
And he is really, you know, he's hoping to get back there and do a lot more. Mike will be able to get back there because he's still on an exemption from 2005. So he's a great guy, and let's all root for him.
Of course, he's a member of the European Tour, and he's won that. Well, he's won 8 times on the European Tour. He's been very, very successful as well. Again, one more time, Steve, tell all the listeners where they can go and check out Horns Illustrated and Cyber Golf.
HornsIllustrated.com, Melissa, is the best way to go. You'll love it if you go there. And then Cyber Golf, CYBERGOLF, CyberGolf.com. If you're a golfer and you're thinking about taking a trip somewhere, we've got thousands of stories cataloged there about what you're going to see when you go someplace. So appreciate you checking it out.
Oh, I did this morning, and I thought it was amazing, Steve. So I'm going to have to huddle up with you, and we can perhaps plan a nice golf trip for my family.
Okay, Alyssa, glad you're in Houston. You're closer to me now.
Oh, there you go. Hey, we're going to step aside. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve.
You bet. Thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Jason Peters is going to be joining us here in just a moment.
Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at pinnbanktx.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and 3-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, the college football conversation does continue. Up next is Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And I tell you what a week it has been. The biggest topic in college football, Texas A&M's Heisman-winning quarterback, Johnny Manziel. He truly is the most fascinating player in the game right now. He is a fixture in the headlines and has become quite a celebrity over the past 7 months since winning the Heisman. Everything he does becomes news. And so the guy I want to huddle up with and talk to is Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, I guess my first question to you is, why is there such a fascination with this 20-year-old kid?
Well, I think because he's the first guy to win a Heisman Trophy as a freshman. I think because throughout this offseason, there have been times when you're seeing him show up at the Heat game and talking to LeBron, or he's playing Pebble Beach, or he's sitting courtside, or I mean, you name the sporting event, he's there. And, you know, I think he's obviously been fortunate that he obviously comes from a family that's well off. Otherwise, I think the NCAA would be looking deep into this, or certainly somebody from A&M would say, Johnny, you can't do this anymore. I think just winning the Heisman Trophy, number one, brings a lot of scrutiny, and everything's magnified.
Well, he certainly moves the meter, I think, probably pretty similar to Tim Tebow. However, he makes different choices than Tim Tebow. He does draw a lot of attention. But what is your thoughts? I mean, I did have a chance. I watched it from start to finish, the SEC media days and his appearance there. What did you think about how he handled himself and his composure?
I thought all of his answers were BS for the most part. And not that I care. I don't need him to tell me why he got booted from the Manning camp, but you could just tell he wasn't forthcoming. You know, who this day and age, when you go to bed at night, plugging your phone into the charger is pretty much like brushing your teeth. It's routine. And the only time that you may not brush your teeth is if you've had too much to drink and you're just trying to make it to the bed. And that's it. I mean, especially nowadays, these kids, they're attached to their cell phones. I mean, attached. You know, if there's a free moment in the day, they are on their cell phones, whether it's tweeting or some social media, they're doing it. So, you know, for him, this whole I overslept, and then you got A.J. McCarron, who's been dragged into this thing, and I think he's answered it the best way that he can, and that's to say it's not an answer for me to give. That's something that Johnny Manziel has to, but I guess, you know, he was there for ultimately, I think, like 2 days or something, and I guess both days, maybe the one of the first days, A.J. McCarron had to wake him up as well. And then the next day, you know, is kind of, I guess, the one where ultimately then he was sent home. But, you know, maybe he wasn't even there to be woken up on the day. Maybe, you know, he was out the night before and you know, you could meet somebody and you end up going home to their place. And maybe she's an iPhone 4 user and you're a 5 and the chargers don't match up. So your phone's going to ultimately run out of juice.
Hey, we're talking about Johnny Manziel. He certainly is keeping social media a Twitter, that's for sure. We're talking to Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. So what I hear you say, Jason, is that he didn't acquit himself. I mean, do you have a favorite soundbite from what he shared at the SEC Media Days?
A favorite sound.
I mean, how many times, Jason, let me jump in here. How many times did you hear him say, I'm just a 20-year-old kid?
Yeah, I know that he hopes people would just view him as any 20-year-old that's going to college. Unfortunately, that's not the case. You know, I mean, you're a Heisman Trophy winner, and even at that, guys that don't win the Heisman Trophy, guys that are just on the A&M football team or the Oklahoma football team or the Nebraska, I mean, you name it. If you play for a big-time college football program, you're under the microscope, and the luxuries that other 20-year-olds are given as they go through their 4 or 5 years of college, it's unfortunate. It is what it is. They don't get to run out on Saturday in front of 80, 90,000 people, you know. And these are some of the sacrifices that you ultimately give up. Is you don't have as much privacy. You don't have people, you know, who will look the other way. That's just not the way it is, and he needs to accept that. He needs to stop with this whole, you know, I just want people to treat me like any other 20-year-old, because it's just not going to happen.
Well, it's evident that he's a confident young man. He does seem like, I mean, I think back, what was I doing when I was 20 years old? I mean, I'm amazed at how composed he is and how he does embrace the media limelight. But I have to wonder, why hasn't Texas A&M done a better job of reining him in and surrounding himself with some folks that can help him make better choices?
Well, you know, it's odd. And yesterday it was, even with Kevin Sumlin up there, most of the time that he spent up there, it was talking about Johnny Manziel, not about Texas A&M.
I agree.
Not what they've got going on.
Uh-huh.
And it's like parents that, you know, put all their attention on their kids. You know, it's like, you know, ultimately that's kind of how they're going to grow up then. And that's, you know, all they know. And everything's got to be about them. And if that's the environment that they've created down there, that's what Johnny Manziel is used to. That's what he expects. You know, you've got to make him feel like he's just another piece of the machine, that he's no better than anybody else that puts on those pads and goes out there and busts their butt during practice and hopefully on game day as well. Obviously, the accolades, I mean, that's, you know, something that the coaching staff or, you know, the training staff or anybody else, they don't really have any play in that. But, you know, it's interesting. I read an article on Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback out of Louisville. And during the off season, I guess, you know, the school had kind of put together this campaign where they're pushing him for Heisman, and there was an incident during practice where maybe he jumped off sides or something in running drills, and one of the guys, one of his teammates said something like, oh, wow, I can't believe they actually called off sides on Teddy, you know, meaning like, you know, he's such the golden boy that even the rules are bent for him. And the first thing he did, he was in one of his coach's office and said, I'm not comfortable with this, because the thing that matters to me is that my teammates view me as an equal to them. Not that I'm being put up on this pedestal. He's like, I don't want that. And, you know, they brought Charlie Strong into the meeting, and let him know his concerns, and I think the next day they dropped the Heisman campaign. You know, if he ends up winning it, it'll just be because people respect what he does on the field, and it's not because of any PR, you know, big ad campaign. And you know, not to say that Johnny Manziel is you know, going into the SID's office saying, I need you know, so many billboards and so many sides of trucks and stuff like that. You know, I don't think he's doing that, but I think you have certainly one guy that's soaking it all in, and you look at the other guy who really just kind of shies away, and a lot has to do with their personality and the way that they were raised.
Well, we'll get into that some more next week. I also want to talk to you about Alabama looking for a three-peat. You know what that's about, as winning three national championships at the University of Nebraska. So, Jason, we look forward to catching up next week, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment on the Big E Sports Show.